Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Sean Broderick, natural resource analyst over at Weiss Ratings, also covers a wide range of sectors, which is one of the main reasons I like bringing you on, Sean, is because we can talk pretty much any sector, and you definitely have some comments on those sectors. We are going to focus a lot on the energy sector this interview, but first and foremost, I do just want to get a quick little overview of that New Orleans Investment Conference that you attended a little over a week ago. I love that conference. Unable to go this year due to some of the travel restrictions and having a young child, just the headaches involved with the whole travel situation right now, switching countries. But Sean, give us a little rundown on your takeaways from that New Orleans Investment Conference, please.
Yeah, well, I actually didn't see many of the speakers besides me because I was so busy. Let me tell you, I mean, was a great bunch of small companies, many of them undiscovered by like most of the market that were there. So I did 8 interviews. No, I did 9 interviews. And so I'll be releasing those over the next few weeks with mainly miners, you know, but also royalty companies, that kind of thing. And not only gold, also things like copper, uranium, nickel, stuff like that. So there's a lot going on. I thought it was really one of the better conferences. Great interaction, good crowd there too. You know, they asked the good questions. They asked smart questions. I had a great time. My presentation was on the EV megatrend, and then I got home and there was more news that's incredibly like bullish, not only for EVs, but for battery metals. I think the whole thing is, it was really well-timed for me, and it was really a great conference.
Well, Sean, I know something you've been writing about a lot and speaking about a lot is the energy sector. There's a lot of different subsectors within energy, but let's start off with the oil and nat gas sectors. How have you been looking at the big move up that both of those have had and the related companies, the producers, the developers, explorers? How are you looking at the energy markets in oil and gas right now?
Yeah, we've done quite well during the oil and gas rally. We've been actually selling some positions recently, or else half a position sometimes, because if like we want to hang on for like potentially more, just because we had these run-ups in like very short amounts of time. And natural gas especially looks a bit toppy. But on the other hand, I mean, when you see the U.S. crude oil benchmark trading at more than $83 a barrel, there's just a lot of profit potential for many of these companies, many of which pay nice dividends too. So, we still have plenty of energy companies, not as many as we had a few weeks ago, but there were some nice gains to take. But as I take those gains, funny you should mention, I am rotating into other energy things. For example, I just picked up 2 solar stocks in one of my publications, and those are both doing well. So, yeah, it looks like a broad energy rally. Money may rotate here and there within that sector, but there's plenty of ways to make money.
How sustainable do you see this rally then, Sean? Because look, it's been a great year. Really, energy across the board ever since that COVID washout has done well. But we are getting to some fairly lofty levels here. Not all-time highs for oil, let's say. But when we get in some of these higher price ranges, we could see more supply come on. There are many factors that could put maybe a bit of a top in these markets. Do you think that is on the horizon?
Well, yeah, but when on the horizon, I mean, you can make and lose fortunes between now and then, right? When things finally go down. And everyone's watching China, really, to see what happens there. And it seems they have good news one week, bad news the next week. And so that's why we have a lot of this volatility in the market, because traders are just trying to make sense of it. But I'm looking at the central banks, despite all their tough talk, they're continuing to push money out there. The money has to find places to go. They've been mailing checks to consumers, and people are turning around spending that money. So, for example, in the new infrastructure bill, which still has to get through Congress, make no mistake about that, but if it goes through as it is now, they're going to give people up to $14,000, maybe $14,500, toward a new electric vehicle. I mean, considering the average price of an electric vehicle is about $40,000, that's about 30% of your cost right there. So it's almost going to be to the point where, like, you can see why people will, like, trade in their old cars and buy new EVs simply because it's going to be so cost effective for them to do that. So that, in turn, if people start to do that, that's going to be another incentive, another fire lit under the general economy. So I'm not doom and gloom on the economy. I'm looking for a broad expansion going longer, even though things slowed down in the most recent quarter. That's true, it did, but a lot of that was fears, I think, of the impact of the Delta variant, which didn't turn out to be nearly as bad as it was, but we saw companies pulling in their horns because they worried about it. So I expect things will keep chugging along. And so I think it's a good time to be investing in things people are going to consume and use. One of those is energy. You know, just to bring back to where we started this whole conversation, while we will have ups and downs in the energy market, in oil, in natural gas, in all sorts of things, I think the general trend can be on a higher plateau. I mean, will we hit $100 per barrel next year? That wouldn't surprise me. I would expect that to be a like peak, a spike, but it'll come down to higher levels than we've seen before. Inflation is part of that. You know, prices are just going up. But also, we're seeing broad-based demand because of the global economy. So while we could see pullbacks, and sure, I've sold some positions anticipating some of that, I expect that this energy rally has a lot longer to go.
Well, Sean, you're spot on there, and it's not just been oil and gas. Look at the uranium stocks racing higher. Look at coal taking off. And with that infrastructure bill you mentioned, there's also going to be an increasing need for renewables, as that's part of the administration's plan. And there is more focus globally on renewable energy. You've put out a couple great pieces recently, Sean, on solar, on wind, and hydrothermal. I thought it might be nice to maybe just get one ETF or maybe one bellwether stock in each sector, solar, wind, and hydrothermal, that has your attention.
Well, sure. I mean, the ETFs are an easy way for like regular investors to play these sectors without doing a lot of research. For solar, you have TAN. That's the Invesco Solar ETF. And the symbol is TAN, TAN. You can't get much more simple than that. And it recently broke out. It's heading higher. Now, there's a funny thing going on where there's a real tightness of the resources you need to build more stuff in the solar industry right now. You know, there's this global supply chain thing, and that's affecting solar as well. So I think we saw some kind of selling off in the industry ahead of that. But as earnings are coming in, we are seeing that these companies have good earnings. And also many of them are making deals to lock in the cost of the inputs they have. So they aren't going to be that much affected by higher costs. So solar looks like a good bet here. Then if you were going to speak about wind, well, there's an ETF in that. That's the First Trust Global Wind Energy ETF, and the symbol on that is FAN. So you have TAN for the sun, FAN for the wind. And we have that in one of our portfolios. It's breaking out nicely. It's doing nice. The same things in like solar also affect wind, where we've had a supply chain squeeze. I think that concerns some people worried about these stocks. But as the earnings are coming in, they actually look pretty good. You can also drill down to the companies that are in FAN. You know, I mean, there's a whole bunch, like, say, the Vestas wind system, but that's on the OTC. Many people don't like to buy that. So if you buy FAN, then you're going to pick it up on a major exchange, much more liquid. I think that's one reason why the ETFs are actually so popular. And for hydro, well, there are risks in hydro. The big risk is actually drought. We've seen that in the out west in the U.S., nonetheless, there are some very well-leveraged utilities that get a lot of their electricity from hydro. One would be Brookfield Renewable Partners, symbol on that is BEP, and then the other one would be Duke Energy. Duke is known for a whole bunch of things, including nuclear for that matter, but symbol on that is DUK, and it has a whole bunch of hydro. Now, if there are extended droughts, that means less hydro is available, and so that can affect what these companies are able to do in terms of output. However, if they pay nice big fat dividends, and those last two companies I mentioned really pay very nice dividends, then you know what? You have kind of a cushion against bad news. So that's something else you can look for as well. Next week, I'll actually be writing about wave energy. So you can look for that. And all these columns are at wealth-wave.com, by the way, just in case people want to read these columns for themselves.
John, I feel like since we're chatting energy, we also need to touch on the uranium sector, because uranium stocks, boy oh boy, those were the real standout for most of this year. They've gone through a bit of a correction now, but the uranium price also started to play a little catch up to these stocks. How do you see the setup in uranium?
I like the setup in uranium a lot, and I'm saying that as a guy who's taken some uranium profits. You know, when you get triple digit gains, of course you're going to take some, but I expect that we'll be using this pullback to buy more. It's not only a great long-term supply-demand picture, which we've been talking about for, I think, years now. At some point, the fact we've been talking about that will be old enough to enter school. But one thing that's affected the market in the short term is we have multiple funds coming in to buy physical uranium. We had, of course, Yellow Cake PLC, that's a fund listed in Britain. That started it. And then Sprott started its own uranium fund. Now, Kazakhstan's National Uranium Company is going to start its own uranium fund. And I was having a conversation at the New Orleans Investment Conference, just to mention that. And we figured out that various funds have taken about 60 million pounds of uranium off the market in recent years. That's actually quite a lot. Prices in the uranium, well, in I should say prices in any market, are made on the margins. And so now you have more and more of what had been sold into the spot market being taken off the spot market. And here's the thing. For a long time, utilities had long-term contracts, but they were starting to let those long-term contracts fall off. Why? Because they could always buy it cheaper in the spot market. I think they're coming to the realization that they won't be able to do that anymore. And so they're going to have to lock in new longer-term contracts at higher prices. And that could be the next thing that lights a fire under this. And actually, higher prices are good for the utilities, too. That may sound counterintuitive, but the price of uranium where it was did not support the industry. And so for a long-term picture, they needed higher uranium prices just to make it worth the while of miners. So now we have higher prices. That's pushing more miners to make the decision to like reopen mines or else begin new mines. We also have the U.S. government's also getting involved because it sees how dependent we are on like foreign uranium. So I think things look very bullish for uranium. Pullbacks can be bought.
Okay, John, really appreciate these insights into a few of the different energy sectors. We get caught up talking about oil and mostly oil, actually, and then uranium more recently. But there are a wide range of other energy sectors that could provide some nice returns and already have for investors. So as always, Sean, it's great having you on the show. Really appreciate your comments. And hey, have a great rest of your day.
Hey, thanks. You too.